we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio program here on a wonderful Tuesday. We pray that you are having a great and glorious day as we're getting ready to talk about the kingdom of God here on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we would love, if you do not have a church home, or if you're looking for a church home, come and worship with us, visit with us. We just have some absolutely incredible people who love God with all of their heart and love the community and want to be as much of a blessing as we can possibly be to our community and the world as well. So pray that you are having a great day. If you do have any prayer requests or anything like that, you know, words of encouragement, whatever, you can reach us at Merritt Assembly, MERRITTASSEMBLY, at hotmail.com, or you can send us something in the mail, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can leave us a voicemail, 321-454-4263. I think maybe I didn't give you the zip code. Those numbers sound... The zip code is 32953. The phone number at the church is 321-454-4263. So anyway, such is life. We are talking about what does the kingdom of God look like. I've got two different resources that I'm pulling together here to go through this study. We have talked about people who reject the kingdom of God. We've talked about people who were near the kingdom of God. Now we're talking about what's it look like for people who are living inside this glorious kingdom that God wants us to walk in. In Matthew chapter 16, it's a very familiar passage of scripture. I'm going to take you there this morning and begin reading in verse number 14. We're going to read verses 14 through 19. So Matthew 16, verse number 14 says this. So they said, verse number 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So when we talk about this passage, many times we are fixated on Peter's response to Jesus' question, "But who do you say that I am?" You know, it's not just... what does the world have to say about me? There are many people that think Jesus was a good man. Many people think he was a wonderful teacher. Many people think he was a prophet. But all of that falls short of the ultimate reality of who he is. And so his original question to his disciples was this: "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, that Son of Man, that is a title that we see he's referred to the Son of God, but the Son of Man was also a reference to the Messiah. It was something that had been talked about in the Old Testament. And so he's telling them, you know, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You know, Jesus already knew the answer. He already knew the answer. He was just wanting to know if people were picking up on it yet, if they were realizing it. And so when he gave them the answer, and then they started telling him, well, there are some people that say you're John the Baptist. Now, they were contemporaries, so they were actually in the same place at the same time. There were 6 months difference in their age, so the people who would be identifying him as John the Baptist, some like Herod thought he was John the Baptist risen from the dead because he had beheaded John. He thought that there was some supernatural things that were going on. But people who didn't know that Jesus and John the Baptist had lived together, they might be uninformed, and so they would say, you know, this or that. And then they start naming off other prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But the people still weren't picking up that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus takes it one step further, and he says, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Because that is the ultimate question. Not what your peers are saying. What is the revelation that you have in your heart and in your life as to the reality of who Jesus is? And Simon Peter answered in verse number 16 and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's identifying, he said, look, we have come to realize that you have authority over everything. You are the one who is to come. We don't understand everything, but we know who you are. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In another place, they'd said, you hold the words of eternal life. And so Jesus begins to speak to him, and he says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Jesus begins to explain to him that this is not something that has just come out of his head. It's not just a fleeting thought that just happened to be flying by, but it is a divine revelation from the Heavenly Father. And he says, and I also say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. So we like to talk about that, and I will tell you this, Jesus will build his church. He will build his church with me or without me. He will build his church with you or without you. He is going to build his church in spite of politics. He is going to build his church in spite of persecution. What he says is that it is his intent, his purpose, to build his church in people's lives who have this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is going to build it. The Bible talks about that God's plans will not be thwarted. They are going to come to pass. God is very persistent and very intentional about building the kingdom of God. Now, he doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And so he is working towards that means. Jesus came as the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. That's the goal. The provision is there. But in order for the provision to be applied to my life and to your life, I have got to say, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I am a sinner that I need a Savior, and would you forgive me and come and dwell in my heart and in my life and be the Lord of my life? And would you empower me to live the way that I am supposed to live? Jesus is going to build his church. Now, upon that truth, there is a second truth that is added, and that is this, and the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not prevail against Jesus building his church. Now, I want you to know that this is not a statement that Jesus is being reactionary to what hell is doing. This is his announcement that he is going to build a church that is going to be proactive. that is going to be motivated by the love of the Father to plunder the kingdom of darkness. Earlier this month, I finished doing my series on revival, and that it is in Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15, that God exists to revive. That is his purpose. He comes to seek, to save. He comes to serve. He comes to revive. It is who he is. It's who he has always been. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I was doing research for that sermon, I was reading a couple of books. There's a book that it's a very slow read. And, you know, with my schedule, I'm getting through it very slowly. It's a book by Bruce Wilkinson, and it's called The Seven Laws of the Learner. So I picked up that book one day, and I'm in the middle of this revival series, and one of the laws that he has in there is the law of revival. And it's like, this is fantastic. Well, it turns out it's a very long chapter. And the conclusion that he comes to in that book is this, that we play a vital part in revival. In fact, we are the conditional part about whether we experience revival or not. And he goes and he takes us to 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. And he goes to places in the New Testament. And the responsibility is us. God's nature isn't going to change. If you want revival, you know, somebody said this, I don't remember exactly who it was, it's not a Bob Arthur's original, said, if you want revival, draw a circle, get in the middle of the circle, and say, God, send revival to this circle. But it's not about, it's not just about feeling good. It's not just about having a great worship service at church or having a great encounter at church. It is about being revived and being restored to the purpose. And in Isaiah 57:15, it says he comes to revive and to dwell with those that have two conditions. They are humble and they are contrite in heart and spirit. And so if we want God to inhabit and be enthroned on our praises, we've also got to realize that we've got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. The Bible talks about submitting to God, then we are able to resist the devil and the devil will flee. So this principle here in Matthew chapter 16, that upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I like to remind people that gates are not mobile. Gates have hinges. Gates are in fixed positions. Gates in biblical times were a defense mechanism, not an offensive mechanism. And so when it talks about the gates of Hades or gates of hell not prevailing against it, it means that there is a revelation that has taken place in your heart and in my heart that is going to prompt us to be taking the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone that we can reach with this good news message. So as I was preaching that message to our congregation, I was talking about a commercial. And to me, commercials are a little fascinating. Many times I remember the commercial. I don't remember the product they're selling. But it talks about this lady goes in to get her hair done, and the stylist starts talking to her in a bunch of professional lingo, and she doesn't understand what he is saying. And there's a guy sitting in the chair. He said he's going to clip some things into your hair. He's going to give you a certain hairstyle, you're his final customer because after this he's moving so and so. But you are going to look fabulous. And she's like, oh, that's what he was trying to say. And then there's follow-up, a realtor who's talking to people who are looking to buy a home, and she's talking about all of the other people that are interested, and they're like, what does this mean to us? And the guy shows up again and he says, what she's trying to say is there's a lot of people that are interested in buying in this home, but don't worry, you've got this. I think it's a mortgage company. And for Christians, many times we use words that we know what they mean, but to the people who are still trapped in sins, they don't understand our words. And so my responsibility as a preacher of the gospel is not to impress you with my flowery words or my $5 words, as I put them, or to impress you with the expertise of Greek or Hebrew, which I don't have. I just have a little bit of understanding about those things. My responsibility is this: to make the gospel understandable to those who need to hear it. And that's what I try and do here. And so that particular Sunday, I remember it very well. That particular Sunday, two different people made comments about that there were lots of fiery darts flying around. And so on that particular Sunday, I addressed the congregation. I says, I want to remind you, the enemy does shoot fiery darts. If you don't believe that, then you just need to open your eyes a little bit. You do have a very real enemy who has very bad intentions for your life. But in Ephesians chapter 6, with the armor of God, it says he has given us the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts, all the fiery darts. So we are not helpless against hell's assaults. We have been given the shield of faith. If you are undergoing some spiritual attacks right now, I encourage you to raise that shield of faith and say, you know what? No matter what happens, my faith shall not be moved. My faith is in Jesus Christ. It's anchored in Christ, and I will prevail in this. So we need to submit ourselves to God. We need to maintain that humble and contrite heart and spirit that we were talking about there in Isaiah chapter 57. So be offensive today to the kingdom of darkness. Okay? So, but many times when we're talking about Matthew chapter 16, we stop there. We stop at that verse. But verse number 19 continues that flow, and it says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so the point that I want to share with you in this broadcast this morning is that it is God's intention that the kingdom of heaven be seen on earth, that the principles of the kingdom and the authority of the kingdom be manifest in your life and in my life. I know many people look at this and they think that this is, given to Peter, and they view him as the first pope, and that it's passed down through papal succession and all this. But I believe that Jesus gives the keys to the kingdom to those who understand who Jesus is. He gives us spiritual authority that you and I are to personally implement. And so I have some things right here in case you, I know you can't see it, but in case you can't hear it, those are my keys. And I tell you what I have discovered about these keys is if they are locked away someplace and I don't have access to them, they do me no good. Has anybody here ever locked themselves out of the house before? And so I make sure that when I, because of the keys which indicate responsibility to me as well as authority, that a lot of times people will ask me, do you have your keys? Well, because I have deprived myself of having access to the keys when I needed them before, I carry my keys with me at all times. And, you know, I encourage you today to walk in the authority that God has given to you. Okay? It's designed not just for your personal benefit, but also for the authority to see souls that are held captive by sin set free. So make sure you have access to the keys. Jesus gives them to us for a reason. We give the keys to Merit Assembly of God. We give those to people who have responsibility, who need access to buildings, or need access to the chairs and the tables and things like that. We give those keys. Now I'm because I at one point in time I counted the keys that I carried, and I was up to like 24 or 36 keys, and so we have dealt with people with a locksmith who came in and keyed the building appropriately, instead of just every time you needed a new doorknob going by one, you end up with another key, and so I could actually function with a small portion of the keys. I've got a master key. It gets me into every place. I've got it in my hand here right now. It unlocks every door. And you might not have a master key for your house, but I can tell you, you do have the master's key to the kingdom. Because he goes on here and he says this: whatever you bind on earth and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the kingdom, if I can put this to you in a way that might bring some insight here, because of who Jesus is on the throne. Jesus, the kingdom of heaven in heaven is not under attack. I mean, that's already been tried. It's already failed. The hostile forces have already been removed. God's throne is firmly established. What he said is to Peter is, because of the actions that I have taken, kingdom authority is in your hands. It's in my hands. And so we need to make sure that we have the key, and we need to make sure that we avail ourselves of that key. I don't know if you've ever found yourself where you had the key, but you didn't think that you had the key, and so you acted as if you didn't have the key. And I'm telling you that there are people in our community, people that you may work with, that you live next to, that you're related to. They are needing us. This was a rabbinical type of authority that from the things that I've studied, that this was not just an empty statement. This was a declaration that you've got authority to bind and to loose. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So I encourage you. That ought to give us a little bit more faith and confidence. You say, but I don't feel like I walk in a lot of authority. Sometimes the people that I'm around, or the problems that I'm around, they feel larger than I am. Well, my greatest revelation of authority is law enforcement. And so I'm very thankful for our law enforcement and first responders. They have been a blessing in my life. You know, law enforcement through the years have been there when I've had accidents. They've been there when things we had a dryer that caught on fire one night, and the sheriff's deputies were actually there. We called 911. The sheriff's deputies were actually there at our house before the fire department got there, and they got there pretty quick. And they helped save our house from catching on fire. The fire stayed contained in the dryer itself. And so it was, they've been a major blessing to me. But do you know that it's not always the largest individual that is a law enforcement officer? It's not their size that gives them their authority. It is the fact that they have been commissioned, deputized, if I can use that term, authorized to wear a badge, and when they go and they are serving, that badge says that they are backed up, that they have got reinforcements, unlimited resources, if you will, to address whatever need. And so whenever I am around a law enforcement officer, whenever I'm around a military personnel, anything like that, I always thank them for their service. I ask them if there's anything that I can pray for them about. But the other thing that I realize is that they are there, and they are well backed up. And today, you and I, we can rest assured that when Jesus tells us that whatever steps need to be taking place in the kingdom, he says, I've given you the key. Many times we're looking around waiting for somebody else to do the work. And I just want to tell you today, right now, you are the one that's been authorized. So can I pray for you today that you will have a personal revelation of who Jesus is, not just for your own well-being, but that so we will realize he's got a purpose and a plan for our life. And hell's going to be plundered. Kingdom of God is going to be populated because of you and I walking in the authority that Jesus has given to us. So, Father, right now I want to thank you that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to thank you, God, that it is Jesus' declaration that he will build his church, and he will build his church in us. I want to thank you for the keys to the kingdom. And Lord, as we go forth, I thank you that the gates of hell will not prevail, but the kingdom of God will be built. In Jesus' name, see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.